Introducing Coco Gauff's signature shoe, more than just a tennis shoe. It's a fusion of 90s-inspired style and cutting-edge performance technology. With its sleek mid-cut silhouette, it's designed to enhance speed and power on the court. The multi-piece upper construction delivers high-energy return for players of all levels. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just starting out, the Coco CG1 empowers you to dominate the game. Learn more and purchase the Coco CG1 at NewBalance.com.
The road to Roland Garros continues on the red clay in Spain as we welcome you to TC Live, getting you caught up on all the biggest news and highlights from this Tuesday in Madrid. A lot to get to over the next half hour. So let's get going. It's a rematch of last year's final in the fourth round. Carlos Alcaraz put his perfect record in the Spanish capital on the line, and it would come down to a third set breaker. Plus, the bakery had a delayed opening for Iga Świątek. How the world number one came from a set down to make some of her own history. And America's Got Talent. Taylor Fritz and Madison Keys both in action. See what Maddie did for the first time. And Fritz joining a very elite club. Come on into our studios here in Santa Monica, California. Steve Weissman alongside the Hall of Famer Jim Courier. We've got the other Hall of Famer, Andy Roddick, over on the big screen. A lot to get to today, including the match that we just saw. No, he's going to come, Jim.
Oh, is he?
Yeah. Okay. This is just, yeah.
There's see,
you build it up. You
it's
build up the drama, and then okay. You're like, Roddick, I mean, Roddick doesn't need the drama.
Guy's got a big head, I'll tell you that. Massive. It's a big melon over there.
Let me just, there we go. Is that better?
Yeah.
That
was like Sputnik around there. Thing was huge.
Little adjustment.
You look great, Andy. You look great.
Your stage manager's doing a wonderful job.
Let me get your reaction, Andy, to what we just saw between Rafa Nadal and Jiří Lehečka.
Well, props to Lehečka because obviously not playing Rafa on clay is no easy task. He had a clear game plan and he stuck to it through the tough moments, right? Jim showed the differential as he's so good at with the stat differentials between last season. He was somewhere around 121 to tonight, where he was just throwing haymakers on the serve. He realized the serve was the best place for him to set himself up for success and for the rest of the point, whether it be winning a point with a serve or setting it up where he could go short and then kind of bully him to the corners. So, but also Rafa coming into this event, you tell him he gets some extended time on court, wins three matches, plays, asks his body the question, and his body says, okay, we're bueno for the next week also. Like, this is a great week for Rafa as well, but props to Lehečka.
Bueno for the next week as well.
I think so, too. I mean, I have the exact same feeling. The takeaway is basically Rafa, I think, was understandably just hoping that his body could hold for a couple of matches. He gets four matches, including 3 hours plus against Cashin yesterday, backs it up today. It was not a physical problem. It was Lehečka problem today that caused his exit here. Now he has a week effectively before he would start in Rome. That's a good time for him to assess whether it's worth it. We'll see what they figure out. We hope to see him in Rome. Ultimately, obviously, he's playing the long game for Roland Garros, and we'll see. But you know, notable things, the serve, it's definitely compromised. You know, the abdominal issues, what's kept him out as of late. He's getting less speed on that first serve. And against Lehečka, that did matter. It hasn't mattered against as many opponents, but he was put on the back foot because Lehečka, recognizing that, was not just offensive with his first serve speeds. His first return speeds were big also. And in that altitude, it's just harder to gain control of the point again. That'll be better for Rafa in both Paris and in Rome because you're back down at sea level. So we'll see. But ultimately, we got to see him four times. And everyone in Madrid got to see him four more times and to celebrate him. So all things considered, fantastic tournament for Rafa.
A win-win. A win for Rafa overall and a win, huge one, for Jiří Lehečka. We'll talk more about that match later on TC Live. But let's get going with Carlos Alcaraz, a rematch of last year. Final. Alcaraz, a perfect 23-0 on Spanish clay over the past 2 years, including 13 straight wins in Madrid, where he took out Jan-Lennard Struff in the final last year. So Alcaraz now 4 wins away from being the first man to three-peat in the magic box. Not even Rafa Nadal did that. He would need some magic shots in the rematch with Struff today, Andy. Like last year's championship, it would go the distance.
Yeah, and Alcaraz started off great in this match, moving the ball around the court. His transition game, when it works, is flawless. The ability to take that backhand on the short hop and drill it line when you have to kind of check step cross court. The touch in full effect here, the court coverage in full effect. Just always so much fun to watch, but also has the potential to sometimes be a roller coaster, a bit of a heart rate monitor, right? Like Struve did an unbelievable job mixing in the serve and volley. You have to serve and volley not because you always think it'll work, but because you have to set the deck and keep someone from just drifting back a la Medvedev and just making you play those long points every day. And Alcaraz played a good third set, but really kind of knees buckled a little bit at the finish, which was not typical for him. At four match points, I think, in that one game, and it was drop shots and it was missed balls. But listen, the way you can hold that backhand, make your opponent check step forward, and then the lob is wide open. Great stuff. Great grind from Alcaraz. Came in undercooked with a bit of an arm injury. And here we are. The more things change, the more they stay the same.
Yeah, they do. Nearly 3 hours on court. Alcaraz actually said it reminded him of last year. Had a much higher percentage of points won on second serve. That was a big difference. So look at this. Since the start of 2022, Carlitos perfect in his home country on clay. Now 24-0, 14 straight in Madrid. Takes those numbers into the quarterfinals against Andrei Rublev. Let's hear from Alcaraz after the match.
It was difficult for me to deal with my emotions, to handle certain moments, difficult moments in the match, you know, serving for the match. It was really difficult for me after that 40 love up, but really happy that at the end it didn't affect me at my game, at my mentality, and I kept fighting. That's all it matters, and really happy to get the win at the end.
The two-time defending champ moves on. How about the top seed, Jannik Sinner? Biggest test of the tournament thus far, facing Karin Khachanov. Jim, the Russian made the quarterfinals here last year.
And he made the first move. Break point here at 5-all in the opening set. Gets the down-the-line backhand. He would take that first set 7-5. Khachanov is a powerhouse. He can bang the forehand, but it will be Sinner's forehand that would ultimately be the difference maker. 25 clean winners on the forehand wing, more than a set's worth from Jannik Sinner. Is this becoming one of the biggest shots in men's tennis? You bet it is. Sinner, a perfect 3-for-3 when he had breakpoint chances. So only drops the opening set. He's been talking about how in training he kind of damaged himself a little bit, dinged himself up last week. He's not feeling perfect here, but he's perfectly willing to compete. And he was able to take the break here, and he'd ride it all the way home. So never in danger of losing this one, and another test for him. So Sinner gets through, and he'll be back in action again tomorrow, I believe. So we'll see if his body can keep withstanding what's coming his way. But a good win for him. He continues to have just a ridiculous 2024 season.
Has served really well. The only player now to reach the quarterfinals at every Masters 1000 event this year. So we see the top two seeds both win. But, Andy, both win in three sets. And as Jim mentioned, neither player is at 100% physically right now. Who looks better to you?
I think Sinner probably looks better, can hold serve a little bit easier, but it's weird. I think we're seeing like the next phase of greatness with these two, because I don't think they've been at their best this tournament. It's not like Indian Wells where you felt the collision course was coming. They were barely losing. You know, people weren't getting to four in a set. They've struggled a little bit, but I think the next level of greatness is struggling confidently. Right. Alcaraz coming in undercooked, making his way through the draw. Sinner coming in, got a bit of a hip issue, still going 3-for-3 on break points. Like, that's a sign of confidence. And, you know, there aren't many levels left for these guys. But, you know, to struggle through Masters 1000 tournaments and still get the W's to where we're not even like surprised by it anymore. That's greatness.
Struggling confidently. That is a beautiful oxymoron, Jim. What do you think between these two? Who has impressed you more?
I think Andy's spot on. I think that both of them are dealing with different things, and they're finding different ways to win as a result. That is how you have sustained greatness, is you find ways to win on those off days or off weeks when you've got some issues that are a little bit out of your control. Like, you've got the forearm issue, maybe overtrain your hips, your knees, something's off. You got to find a way. And these tournaments do allow these players to have some time off in between as well. Actually, I think I got that wrong. I think Sinner actually gets the day off tomorrow. Alcaraz will be back in battle. But now we're starting to get closer to the business end where they'll start to play more back-to-back matches. But these guys continue to back it up time and time again. They're developing this new consistency across surfaces, which is what you really need in the sport. You need to have those rivalries. That's what drives it. We're starting to see those rivalries, the new ones, start to form.
Yeah, still on a collision course. We'll see what happens. They're both in the quarterfinals. How about the ladies? The top seed Iga Swiatek. You know she wants to win this event for the first time, has been dominating all week. Just 8 games dropped in 3 matches, Jim, but Beatriz Haddad-Maia came out with other ideas.
Yeah, she'd lose 6 in the first set. Swiatek, Haddad-Maia gets the set 6-4, but then what did you say? The bakery was a little bit late.
It was delayed opening today.
Well, she came out and started cooking in the second set, dropped a 6-0 on Haddad-Maia, and Swiatek on the clay when she has time on that forehand is devastating, and she didn't panic whatsoever with the deficit. She just went to work, and that work would put her in good stead. Swiatek, no real troubles here, even a third. Early break point chances at 15-40. Again, just controlling play up at the net, just wants that volley away to the open court, and she'd close it quickly. 2 hours, 29 minutes, so no real taxation physically as well. A little bit of stress on the nervous system early on, but she comes through and you can see what it means to her.
Iga tied Coco Gauff for the most bagel sets won this year at 7, reaches the semifinals at a 1,000-level event for the 15th time, most by a player younger than 23 years old. How about Madison Keys taking on the 2022 champ Ange Jabeur? Keys hadn't won a set off Jabeur coming in, and the first set was no different, Andy.
Yeah, it felt like we were seeing kind of the same thing again here. Jabeur came out, I think she won her match yesterday, the first set, 6-0. So quick start, but credit to Maddie Keys for sticking in there. 6-0, 2-0, you wouldn't know it by her body language, right? She's going, okay, let's get real. The stress is off. I'm not going to get beat 0-0 today. You know, I might as well try to make a run at it. So listen, you can be losing, you know, 3/4 of the first 2 sets and still sneak out a victory to where you're 1 set all. Beauty of the tennis scoring system. And then Maddie started rolling, right? When she has that kind of delayed where she pulls it to the forehand, from the forehand corner, she just fought hard. She deserved this win. Down and out and came back. Really competed today.
Let's hear from her.
The key was to get a game at the start. Once I did that, I feel like I finally settled in and relaxed a little bit and allowed myself to play some good tennis and was able to somehow figure that out and get the win.
All right, taking a look at the draw. It's Swiatek and Keys in the semifinals. You see the head-to-head there. Entering this year, Keys had lost in the first round in Madrid 5 years in a row. Now more wins this week than she had in her 3 prior tournaments this year, Jim. How did she turn this one around?
Honestly, I think the change in the racket is a big part of it. Now, she's getting more natural topspin because, as she told us in the show yesterday, she switched her string pattern from an 18-20, which is a tight one which doesn't give you much topspin on the ball, to 16 strings and 19 strings. So there's more space that naturally gives that spin off of the ball. And one thing that Madison Keys has never lacked is power. But now she's getting more control. She's not using gut anymore. She's using all poly, and that is giving her, again, turbo top spin. And that's really a brilliant move for her, and I think it could be possibly a career changer. We'll see. It's hard to tell, but I remember Serena later in her career changed to some poly as well from all gut, and all of a sudden she got a lot more consistency to go with her firepower. Might this be the move that makes Maddie a major winner at some point? Possibly.
Well, like Serena, she now joins the Williams sisters, the only American women to reach the semifinals at both clay court 1,000-level events.
Even the stories right together.
You set it up, and I knock it out. Andy, coming back, though, after that bagel set loss, what did that prove to you?
Yeah, I'll tell you. If you have a bad record against someone, and then you start down 6-0, 2-0, credit for Maddie Keys for hanging in there, right, and not getting kind of the hangdog look, and you could see kind of the mock celebration, but she competed. Right. She won this just by grit, by competing, by staying out there long enough to give herself a chance to shift her form. Right. And especially in Madrid, I echo everything that Jim said. But when the ball's flying around a little bit, you're not seeing her hit those kind of foul balls off the backhand side. Right. Creating 10%, 20% more margin on that side allows her to get more looks at the forehand. She serves big enough. The kick is big enough where she's not sacrificing anything with that switch. So I totally agree with Jim that this change looks really good on her.
16-19 string pattern, all poly, all go for Maddie Keys.
Green light special.
That's right. Much more still to get to here on TC Live. We're talking about Taylor Fritz trying to get back in the top 10 by knocking off a player in that group. See what else he did for the 10th time. Plus, Rafa Nadal trying to add to his legacy in Madrid, taking on a young Czech player gunning for some history of his own. Mm-hmm.
Introducing Coco Gauff's signature shoe, more than just a tennis shoe. It's a fusion of 90s-inspired style and cutting-edge performance technology. With its sleek mid-cut silhouette, it's designed to enhance speed and power on the court. The multi-piece upper construction delivers high-energy return for players of all levels. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just starting out, the Coco CG1 empowers you to dominate the game. Learn more and purchase the Coco CG1 at NewBalance.com.
Hi there, tennis fans. I'm Fox Weather meteorologist Britta Merwin. Here is tomorrow's forecast for the Madrid Open in Madrid, Spain. We have a chance of thunderstorms with temperatures in the upper 50s. Remember, you can stream us on your favorite connected TV device. Always on, always free.
Thank you, Britta. A little cold again tomorrow in Madrid. Back to today's action. Daniil Medvedev, perfect 5-0 against Alexander Bublik. Coming into their match, Andy, remained a good one for him.
Steve, do you like DJ Khaled?
I do. Another one.
You do? All he does is win, win, win. Yeah. Welcome to the Medvedev special. He hates this service enough to win matches on it consistently week after week. The most Medvedev point ever, where you think you have him out of it three times and he comes back the fourth. He is literally allergic to making bad decisions on a tennis court. Love what I'm seeing here at Medvedev. You can see that he hates almost every part of this except for winning the last point. He's moving a little better on the clay. Dare I say, look at this one, Steve. 70% water, 30% of Medvedev covering it. That's the way it works out. I have so much time for this guy and what he does day in and day out. Just puts on his hard hat, maybe complains a little bit, but I'm here for it. Medvedev moving on again.
He the best music. Medvedev completed the full set of reaching at least the quarterfinals at all of the Masters 1000 events. I can go DJ Khaled for days with you, Andy. Andre Rublev continuing his resurgence in Madrid, looking to stay undefeated in sets this tournament against Talon Griekspoor.
Where did this form come from? Rublev had lost four consecutive matches leading into this tournament. Now he's playing some of the best tennis you'll see. Absolutely cracking the forehands. He would only lose one point when he made a first serve today. He was so hyper-aggressive against Griekspoor. He would hit 28 clean winners. And when you're that aggressive in altitude and you play as flat as Rublev does, you've got to miss, right? Especially when it's so tricky to see the ball. The guy made only 9 unforced errors. That is a crazy, crazy day at the office for Rublev, and it's one he's needed. So he comes through against a player with a lot of firepower in Griekspoor, unharmed. 2-4, gets Alcaraz next, but he has resuscitated his season.
He certainly has. Converted 3 of 7 break points in that match. The top-ranked American, Taylor Fritz, going for his 10th Masters quarterfinal. Second on clay, Andy, taking on Hubie Hurkacz.
Yeah, and props to Fritz because he came over, didn't play great in Monte Carlo, played the extra week, made a final last week. I think it was in Munich. But you can tell he got match tough along the way. Listen, hitting the ball firmly through the court has never been an issue for Taylor. When he does it with confidence, when he sets himself up right on that baseline, he can distribute the ball flat and hard as well as anyone in the world. Was in a great serving rhythm today. Just, you didn't feel like he was going to get broken. You feel like Hubie was having to struggle a little bit more. And when Fritz can turn on one in the middle of the court, Hurkacz doesn't have the movement on clay to turn those into neutral balls out of the corners. Fritz had a game plan, stuck to it, and he has found confidence. He is able to grind through week after week and deserves this result.
Talked about his serve after with Prakash.
Taylor Fritz, looking very good out there, my man. Do we officially call you a serve bot? Or no? Because, I mean, that was about as good a serving day as one could have.
Yeah, I mean, here in Madrid, definitely, it's moving. I served really well today. I mean, I've been serving well all year, I feel like, but yeah, it's definitely clicking.
Was able to join Andy and Jim in the elite club of American men to reach 10 Masters quarterfinals, 9th American man to do that. So Fritz is moving on. We'll face Francisco Cerúndolo next as the quarterfinals are set in Madrid. He is the only one with the American flag there in the final 8. Jim, what do you like most about the way Taylor Fritz is playing right now?
I like that he's committed to offense, and this is a great tournament for players that are committed to offense. As we saw with Lehecka, you can serve big, you can rip forehands. It's tough to defend in this altitude. You just get slippery in the corners compared to
aroma. And there's a little bit more moisture and texture in the surface. So, look, for Fritz, just keep on keeping on. This is the way he needs to play is front foot tennis, no matter what the surface is. So I'm loving that mindset from him. Take full advantage of it. Get a big win over Hurkacz.
Agassi, the only American to ever win in Madrid. What chances do you give Fritz to make that list, Andy?
Well, listen, let's celebrate the quarters for now. I, if I'm not mistaken, Andre might have won indoors, so that's a different conversation entirely. But let's focus on the good, right? He's created an opportunity, battled his way through last week, has committed to a full schedule, unlike a lot of us schmucks. Like, he actually goes and commits the entire time, a la Jim Courier on the clay. So that persistence is paying off with a quarterfinal shot against someone who's not ranked in the top 20 in the world. Cerúndolo had a great win against Verb right now, but this is a good opportunity for Taylor.
Amazing opportunity. We'll preview that match later on TC Live. Taylor Fritz, Francisco Cerúndolo.
I'll hold fire.
Get the picks from Jim in the last segment of the show. But when we come back, it is all about the King of Clay, Rafa Nadal. Found his best level of the season here in Madrid. Could he reach an insane stat with a win today? Andy, Jim, and Steve back on TC Live reminding you Tennis Channel Plus, and T2 will once again bring you extensive daily live coverage from Roland Garros next month. Rafa Nadal going for his 15th title on the Terre Battue. All the action begins Sunday, May 26th at 5 a.m. Eastern. Rafa Nadal going down today to Yuri Lehechka, a match that we just saw here on Tennis Channel. But at the end of the day, Rafa got in three wins here in Madrid. He was able to make some strides, prove to himself that he could play match after match health-wise. What's your biggest takeaway from this tournament for Nadal?
Well, biggest takeaway is there's optimism in Nadal's camp, and there should be, because he was able to play back-to-back matches today and yesterday, having come off of a three-hour and six-match win over Kashin yesterday, and able to play out there comfortably physically today, uncomfortably tactically, because Lehechka was bullying him all over the court, but he didn't seem to diminish. His serve speeds were actually a little bit quicker today than they were yesterday on average. So a lot of things that look pretty good for him to at least continue. Is he going to be the favorite if he plays Roland Garros, which we sure hope he does? No, he's not going to be the favorite. And that will be the first time, I think, probably since he came onto the scene, that he will not be. But he'll still be there, we hope. And that is something to celebrate.
What do you expect to see, and what do you want to see from Rafa in Rome, Andy?
Yeah, so this conversation is twofold, right? It's the celebration of a successful week for him, but then if we're going to talk about balls and strikes and what his team could potentially work on, assuming health, right? Assuming that the precedent has been set that he is healthier than he thought he was even 2 weeks ago. The one thing that stood out for me beyond the serve, because we understand the serve, because he said going in, I'm not going to serve full out, is getting out of the corner on the backhand side. I feel like he's getting beat there a lot more than prime Rafa. And again, we're judging him against his own shadow, so I fully understand the criticism is insane. But if I'm his team, it's can we get out of the corner and can we neutralize out of that backhand corner a little more often? You saw him going to the kind of the open stance slide chipper Magoo a little bit more. That is not prime Rafa. So maybe it's an adjustment on where you start points, positioning, where you stand. But 10 out of 10 week, I don't know that he wants to play more than four matches this week, right? Why put your body at risk? I know that's counterintuitive to say as an analyst, certainly counterintuitive for Rafa as a competitor, but I think this was the perfect week for Rafa.
I couldn't agree more. Plus, I mean, listen, I mean, you got Rome coming up, which is a little more similar to Roland Garros. You want to get some play on that as well. This is how good this week was, because for the first time, he wins three matches in one event since the U.S. Open a couple years ago. Obviously, he doubled his win total for this season as well, planning to play Rome and, of course, Roland Garros, which starts May 26th. So you say he's not the favorite, Jim, heading into Roland Garros, but where does he rank now on your list from what you saw this week compared to before Madrid?
I don't even really want to go down that rabbit hole, because all of it is so predicated on what his body will give him, and we just, all of us, wishing him the best. He certainly, in my mind, I agree with Andy. I think four matches is probably the most he would want to play here and in Rome. I don't think he wants to overplay and push it, because, again, one wrong step and things could change. And things in this match, they just weren't in his control. There are not many players, however,
who can play with a type of firepower, Andy, off of all wings, forehand, backhand, and serve that can really make it that challenging for Rafa.
The serve is the biggest one, right? Because Rafa wants those extended rallies. He wants to turn it into a chess match. He wants to turn it into something physical. With Lehecka, listen, I'm going to fire forehand line. I'm going to serve massive. I mean, he was hitting, I sent Jim a text during the match. The guy was hitting bombs. I mean, 144 at night when it's cold on a clay court. The clarity in his approach was spot on, knew what he had to do. Coming up with a game plan is easy. Executing it is a lot harder. Impressed with his volleys, Jim. Like, did you know that he could volley this way?
No, not at all.
It was unbelievable.
That was incredible. But there's a few things to think about, too, if you're a Nadal fan. He played in the night match here when things are cooler, and that was because he wanted to get a little bit more rest time after the long win yesterday. It's unlikely that Roland Garros, that he'll play at night. I've got to believe. I've got to believe he'll ask to play in the day and not the lone night session match. And what that does is it allows his forehand to jump more if it's a little bit warmer. He's always enjoyed those type of conditions more. And, you know, this one, again, Lehecka had so much to do with this outcome. This is not a match that Nadal beat himself in by any means.
And they were celebrating Rafa Nadal after this match. He has more match wins here in Madrid, more titles here in Madrid than anyone in history at this event. So even with the loss, a big celebration for Rafa Nadal in what is likely to be his last time playing in Madrid, a place that obviously his beloved, the King of Spain, was there watching him play as well. Jim didn't want to go there, Andy, but can I tempt you where Rafa ranks in terms of heading into Roland Garros from pre-Madrid to now?
Pre-Madrid to now, it's not even a conversation, right? You know, like, from will he play to, I don't know, best 30? Who knows? Like, right? But, I mean, the thing is his level of optimism. He went into this tournament saying, if I feel the way I feel now, I won't play Roland Garros. I guarantee you, if he feels the way he's felt this week, he will be playing Roland Garros. And I can guarantee you one thing, Steve. He is going in unseeded. There is not a seed in the draw that wants to see Rafa on the other side of the net. He is going to be playing a role he hasn't played since he was 17 years old. He will be the disruptor at Roland Garros for the first time in his career.
He did pretty well when he was 17 years old as well. So looking forward to that. And it's a win for all of tennis if Rafa Nadal plays Roland Garros. Right. Here's our schedule for a Wednesday on Tennis Channel. The quarterfinals live at 6 a.m. Eastern. TC Live to follow later at night. And then encore coverage all night long when we come back. Our hot shot, and we'll look ahead to some of those quarterfinals. Don't go anywhere.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
You've been waiting for it. It's that time. Hot shot of the day, Andy. How about a little Casper Ruud?
It's just amazing when it's not Alcaraz, Mumfies, Fognini, or like a handful of other people. But this one on the full run, not the result that Casper Ruud wanted today. But maybe we don't talk about his movement as much. Got a great jump on this one. And then that was talk about. That was open 24-7, Steve. But a little flipper Magoo at the end.
Anytime we can get a flipper Magoo, it is a good day. Big win, by the way, for Felix Auger-Aliassime, taking out the guy with more wins than anyone on tour this year in Casper Ruud. Let's look at our featured matches coming up tomorrow. Some real good ones for you. Yulia Putintseva taking on Elena Rybakina, Carlos Alcaraz and Andrei Rublev. The 17-year-old Mira Andreeva taking on the defending champ Aryna Sabalenka. And then Taylor Fritz against Francisco Cerúndolo. For more on this, we head back to our desk in Madrid with Danny Prakash.
All right, back here at our FanDuel desk. P, we've got a great matchup between the defending champion, Aryna Sabalenka, and the newly 17-year-old Mira Andreeva. Who do you give the edge to?
I think it's going to be a little different than the 6-3, 6-1 for Sabalenka in the round of 16 last year. Andreeva's playing great tennis, and she sat here on our desk and said, you know what, I believe I have it in me to be able to win this tournament. Sabalenka hasn't found her best form yet. I think she needs to up it. If she does, I still like her to be able to come through. But if not, I think Andreeva might be able to pull off the upset.
So did you pick a winner there?
No, I did not.
Just making sure that we were on the same page, okay? A spot in the semifinals is up for grabs between Sabalenka and Mira Andreeva. We're looking forward to the action here in Madrid.
I mean, he's got to talk to the winner either way, so he didn't want to, you know, upset anybody that's coming to the
desk. We got the hot shots. Prakash is in the hot seat. It's all happening.
It is all happening. Let's talk about Carlos Alcaraz and Andre Rublev.
Sure.
We mentioned him. Rublev turned everything around him. He came into this tournament, four straight losses. Now he's here in the quarterfinals, taking on the guy who's won it two times in a row. What are your thoughts on the matchup?
Well, they've only played one time. Yep. That was indoors of the tour finals. This will be on clay, so Rublev will get a little bit more opportunity to play the type of offense that he was doing so incredibly well today. If he can get that kind of winners to unforced errors numbers, where it's 3-1 winners or so, I mean, he's got a chance. But we'll see. Alcaraz, back-to-back days. How's the forearm hold up? So far, so great for him. But this should be some sharp shooting from these guys. You'll see some major attack mode on this court. Alcaraz, the far more diverse player. Rublev wants to just rifle the forehand. But I'm here for it. I'll be here for it, in fact. I'm looking forward to calling that match.
We are looking forward to listening. Andy, who are you picking in that one?
It's hard to go against Alcaraz with his track record in Madrid. This is basically going to be, can Alcaraz get Rublev moving, right? Get him out of that kind of static position before Rublev just starts throwing haymakers, right? It's a lot harder to dance when Rublev is just driving the ball through the corner. So the first strike tennis isn't like pace of shot, right? We know that belongs to Rublev. It's can Carlos Alcaraz create some space with height? Can he get into the net? Can he kind of set up that dropper? Rublev doesn't want to have to move in and out of the court as much and react to variety. So it's just a matter of who can kind of implement their strategy the earliest in the rallies.
Taylor Fritz, Francisco Cerúndolo, also just one match played previously, but that was at Roland Garros, and it was a four-set win for Cerúndolo. What does Fritz need to do to win tomorrow?
Enjoy the altitude. Enjoy the 2,000 extra feet he'll be playing in, which is going to make the ball sing through the air. So both of these guys have among the biggest forehands in men's tennis. They're going to be crushing the ball. But I like Taylor's backhand better than Cerúndolo's, and I certainly like his serve better. So I do have Taylor starting the favorite in this match. But, listen, just enjoy the conditions. Stay offensive-minded. Take your shots when you get them. Cerúndolo, if he beats you, there's no shame there. He's a tremendous player.
Yeah, and I like it. Listen, it's going to be about second serve with Cerúndolo. Fritz can absolutely take cuts and take the racket out of his hand. You know, Zverev has a big serve also, but what he doesn't have is the ability to pump the forehand on a second serve and really make Cerúndolo start kind of on his heels. So I look for Fritz to kind of dictate early, especially on Cerúndolo's second.
I was talking to David Nankin this morning. Yeah. We were looking at the draw, and he was like, oh, he plays Cerúndolo? Yep, he's got that one.
Really?
So, yeah, he's fully confident.
I like that. You know what I'm confident is that Andy Roddick owns a piece of the hat he's wearing. How much do you own of InTown Golf, Andy?
Never enough, Jim. Never enough.
Okay, well, I love that you're promoting it. Well, can't wait to see what hat you'll have tomorrow. Always selling.
Yeah. I mean, occasionally no hat for Andy.
Yeah, I just like that he's got a nice bright white light on him these days. We're not looking at him in the dark. He's professional-ish. Still got the T-shirt, though.
I listened to the Serve podcast with Lindsay today, Andy.
Yeah, she roasted me, and I was there for it. She does not suffer fools, and she pulled some punches, and that's what we wanted. A little bit differentiated. Lindsay kicked my butt.
You guys are doing great with the pod, Andy. One thing, special request, can you do like an alternative edition of the pod where you make it family friendly? Because there's just too many curse words for me to let the kids listen.
So you sound like me last week to my producer, right? And then 95% of the reactions we got on social were like, let it rip, Tater Chip. So I'm as conflicted as you are, but maybe we do like, maybe there's a censored version for you.
Just a bleeped out version.
I appreciate the feedback, and I look forward to booking you right before Roland Garros. Thanks, Jim.
I'll be busy, but, you know, I look forward to listening.
By the way, it doesn't affect Jagger Leach, who Lindsay said that's the only thing he listens to. So I think he's 16?
He's like an adult.
That's fine. Even like a PG version will be better than what we're getting right now.
Big ceremony. For Rafa Nadal there in Madrid, as you see all the titles he's won, five of them at this event. Farewell to Rafa in the Spanish capital. He has given so much to the game and, of course, that country. Thanks for watching TC Live. The action from Madrid continues next.